Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. We're going to begin worship with a great Go Tell It on the Mountain, hymn 154. Go tell it on the mount. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, while shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night. Behold,
use of the shakers.
Pastor David, do you want to tell a little bit about this next song?
Yes. Today is the baptism of Jesus. So we get John the Baptist, and Brian Sergio, some of you know, as a musician here in the Wisconsin Conference and minister, has written a lot of music and wrote this very fun song about John the Baptist called Bugs for Lunch. It talks about how John liked to eat bugs for lunch. So we get a chance to sing words that we don't normally get to say in church, like yuck. He ate bugs for lunch, yuck, yuck, yuck. So I think maybe let's just do
the chorus
part. Yeah, do the chorus first. We'll get you a handle on that. Lynn and I are going to do a couple other things. We'll practice the chorus, and then once we get through that once, there are also some motions that we can do to this song. So then I'll have you all stand later on, and we'll do the motions. And the kids, if I get the motions wrong, give me the right ones. I know they all know it. So let's do what they're going to sing.
Okay. If you're on the wrong road, go the other way. If you got two coats, give one away. When Jesus comes, prepare the way, and don't forget your bugs. He ate bugs for lunch.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
He ate bugs for lunch.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
He ate bugs for lunch.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
John the Baptist ate bugs for lunch.
All right, that's not too hard. And then if you want to shake your hand, yuck, yuck, yuck. John wore camel hair and ate locusts and honey. So shall we do
from
the song?
From the top?
Yeah,
from
do it
top?
From the top. And,
okay, there's a part for Pastor David and I, and then you'll hear it. Your part is considered the chorus or the refrain.
Yeah.
John the Baptist was great, the greatest man who ever lived. And if old John was with us today, he'd tell us something like this.
This is where you come in.
If you're on the wrong road,
like to stand and sing in, but I'll guide you through the motions. Sorry, I totally ruined that.
Okay, no, just go.
Sorry about that. Let's try it. We're ad-libbing.
Okay. So are you teaching motions now?
Yeah, I'll teach you the motions when we get to the chorus part. How's
okay.
that? All right. So let's go back to Jesus said John the Baptist.
All right. Jesus said John the Baptist was great, the greatest man who ever lived. And if old John was with us today, he'd tell us something like this. If you're on the wrong road, go the other way. If you got two coats, give one away. When Jesus comes, prepare the way. And don't forget your bugs. He ate bugs for lunch. Yuck, yuck, yuck. He ate bugs for lunch. Yuck, yuck, yuck. He ate bugs for lunch. Yuck, yuck, yuck. John the Baptist ate bugs for lunch.
One more time.
Jesus said John the Baptist was great, the greatest man who ever lived. And if old John was with us today, he'd tell us something like this. If you're on the wrong road, go the other way. If you got two coats, give one away. When Jesus comes, prepare the way. And don't forget your bugs.
Call to worship. Still speaking God, as we remember Jesus' baptism and join to worship you this morning.
May it be to us as if the heavens are opening.
And may we see your Spirit descending on us like a dove.
Revealing your love for us as your daughters and sons. Amen.
Well, Happy New Year, and I hope everyone had a good Christmas time and good New Year's Day, and the Badgers won, and so that was exciting, yay. Now we are all back together, beginning of another year. So let us continue our worship with our prayer of confession, and please pray with me this morning. God, you show no partiality. Yet we are not always as tolerant and accepting. Forgive our intolerance and help us to see as you see. Help us to see that we are found acceptable in your sight, and help us to see your acceptance of our neighbors and even of our enemies, that we may live more faithfully together as your beloved people. Amen. God does forgive all our sins and promises to bring us to everlasting life. In fact, God has already offered us eternal life. And so accept this good news in your heart that in Jesus' name you are forgiven. And may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Take a moment and share the peace of Christ with your neighbors. Peace. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. I'm
better. Now I got a nice cool suit. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Rob.
Oh, no.
It bugs for lunch. Good morning, Pete. Peace be with you. Happy New Year. Oh, good to see you. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, nice and easy. Yep. And Larry is the one that kind of does that. But yeah, we'll be out here because we got lunch after worship, so they'll be around and we can show you how it works. And, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a good deal for the church. I mean, it's not a good deal for anyone buying anything. Basically, you give us $50, we give you a $50 gift card, but the church gets 5% or 10%. Yep, so we can do that after worship. He is interested to hear about the script program, so let's do that after worship. So. Yes, I think so. Peace. Peace be with you, Mary. Good to see you. Peace to you. It's for lunch, gents. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. John, peace be with you. Peace be with you, Joanne. Good to see you. Peace be with you, Dorothy. Good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Audrey. Good to see you. Thank you. Good to be back. Yeah, it is. I did. It was a nice little break. So. Yeah, it helps. Even sometimes just to clean your closet. Yeah.
Centering song. This is, we have not done this before.
It's beautiful.
Testament lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our New Testament lesson comes from Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them.
Thank you, Deb. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, and I want to read the beginning, the first three verses, which are not in the bulletin. So I'm going to move over to the big Bible here. Ooh. It's a heavy one, but I didn't think to print out the first three verses, so I'm just going to bring this over here. And this is the very first verses of Mark's gospel, and as I mentioned, this is the story of Jesus' baptism. But the beginning words here that aren't in the bulletin are some words from the prophet Isaiah, who was a prophet in the 700s BC in Israel. So hear now how God is speaking to you through these words of Mark's gospel. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who shall prepare the way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Well, if some of that sounds familiar to you, we read the part about John the Baptist back in December, the second Sunday of Advent, not the baptism part, but just the part about John the Baptist coming out to prepare the way. So if it sounds familiar, you heard it just 4 weeks ago. And we have in this passage John the Baptist. John is pointing the people toward Jesus. Pointing the people toward Jesus, not maybe specifically by name, but to say the one is coming. One is coming who is more powerful than me. And I'm sure that John knew it was Jesus because they were cousins. They had grown up together, and there's that story of Elizabeth and Mary being pregnant together and John leaping in Elizabeth's womb when Mary comes to visit. So probably John knew that it was going to be Jesus. But maybe he had not told the people the name of the one who was to come. Maybe he did. It's hard to know. Hard to know. But Jesus, or John, was out there in the Jordan pointing people, saying, one is coming. Be ready. Prepare yourselves. He's out in the Jordan River saying, one greater than him is soon to come who will baptize not with water but with the Holy Spirit. He is more powerful than I. He can do something that I cannot. And then Jesus shows up. And he comes from Nazareth in Galilee, and he's baptized. And this, as I said, this is the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. So the first words of Mark's Gospel, and there's something not there. There's no birth narrative. The writer of Mark is not at all concerned with how Jesus was born, how Jesus came into the world. All that matters for the writer here is this beginning of Jesus' ministry, starting with baptism. Actually, the gospel starts with Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah's prophecy, and then introduces John the Baptist as the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then John the Baptist tells of one who is to come, and Jesus shows up as the fulfillment of that prophecy. And in this whole thing, Jesus doesn't speak. He says nothing. He doesn't speak to John. John doesn't speak to him. It does make me wonder if maybe they had discussed this months or even years before setting up that Jesus would have to be baptized by John. We do get in some of the other Gospels, they have a dialogue. John says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should baptize me. But in here, there's no conversation. Jesus says nothing. But God speaks. Or at least a voice from heaven says something. And I think we could safely assume that the writer of Mark here intends for us to think of that as God, or if not God, some heavenly being speaking on behalf of God. So Isaiah speaks, John the Baptist speaks, God speaks, but Jesus is silent. It's a powerful silence. If Jesus on the move in silence, and there is in this passage a moment of time and geography. John is in the River Jordan baptizing people. He's in a very specific place and a very specific time. John is there baptizing. And as he's doing this, Jesus starts in Nazareth, in Galilee. He's over there and starts walking, coming to where John is, and he walks into John's space and time. He has his baptism, and then he continues. Jesus continues out of John's space, leaving out the other side. It's very linear. But we have also here that John is connected with the past, the prophecy of Isaiah, 700 years or so before. We think of that as another line out of that. And then also at the moment of Jesus' baptism, There's this vertical movement of the heavens opening up and the voice coming down and the Spirit descending down onto Jesus. And that voice speaking. And I wonder even if Jesus and John had talked about this ahead of time, or if they hadn't. Was John prepared for that moment? Was John prepared for what was going to happen at Jesus' baptism? Was Jesus prepared for it? Are any of us ever really prepared to meet or to experience God, to be in the presence of the divine, to feel the Holy Spirit touch us? As those of us who were baptized, in baptism we get the Holy Spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit is around us all the time. We can be prepared maybe for that moment, but can any of us, or were any of us, truly ready for the full effect of encountering God, that life-changing, life-altering cosmic whiplash that can be a meeting with the divine? That can turn our lives upside down in good and wonderful ways, but can turn us upside down. And I've had some of my experiences. I've talked of some of them. Some have been dramatic. Most of them have not. Most of my experience with the divine is that kind of slow, unfolding, subtle, day-by-day realization of God's presence with me. But usually not the way I expect. Not at the times that I would have chosen. Not the way that I would have planned for them. God is a surpriser. God likes to surprise. God will come whenever and wherever God wants, regardless of what we've put on our calendar. Regardless of how we have mapped out our time and our days. Think of Christmas. We just celebrated Christmas, God surprising us, coming as a baby boy in this backwater town on the outer edge of the world's mightiest empire to a young girl who's not even a citizen of that empire. And even those that were expecting a Messiah were not expecting God to come that way. That was a surprise. The Messiah should have come from Jerusalem. It's the holy city, God's city. Jerusalem is where God's home, the temple was. That's where all of God's priests were. The Messiah should have come out of Jerusalem. That's the big, important city. Certainly should not have come out of Nazareth. Town way up in the north, the city of traders in Isaiah's time, a land of country bumpkins. But God likes to surprise. So we may say to God, you know what, God, if you're there, if you could show yourself on Tuesday morning, I'll be meditating on scripture. I'll be in my kitchen. You know where my kitchen is. Come to me in my kitchen and show me that you're here. And I need you to be really clear, except that God's not going to show up on Tuesday morning in your kitchen while you're reading scripture. Maybe a little bit of God will come in. But God probably has maybe already shown up on Friday afternoon. And when you were impatiently getting your groceries and seething at the incompetence of the checker or the screaming child behind you, or the moron that cut in line in front of you. But you missed it because God can't come from Nazareth. God can't come, can't be the incompetent clerk or the screaming child or the moron that cut in line in front of you. God can't be any of those, right? And we may say, okay, God, now when you come on Tuesday morning, I don't want any drama. Just show up, say that you're there, say that you love me, and leave me alone. Don't ask me to change anything. Don't ask me to live differently. Leave me the same way. No interference, okay? And God answers, no, not okay.
I will come when I want, and I hope that when I come and you experience me, your life will change. Things will be different. I've said this before about praying the Lord's Prayer. There is that line that we pray that says, "Your will be done." And I've said before, and I'll keep saying, I hope that we realize how dangerous that prayer can be. If we truly mean, "Your will be done," not my will, not my ego, not my needs, not what I desire. That's a lot of ego to give up, and giving up a lot of need for control or for that sense of power, that need for clarity and routine and calm to say, "Your will be done." And so maybe in this movement that Jesus has when he comes from Nazareth, has his baptism, and moves on, perhaps it's not that linear. Maybe he's not going where he expected to go after his baptism. When Jesus is with John and the heavens open and the voice comes down and says, "You are my beloved." Right after that, Jesus goes into the wilderness. And I could be wrong, we don't know, but I have a feeling that Jesus was not expecting that after his baptism he would go into the wilderness. I think that was a change of plans. He probably thought he would hang out with John for a while, or maybe go to Jerusalem, or even go back home. There's this encounter with the divine here, and so he comes from Nazareth, comes to John, and instead of going this way, he goes off this way, into the wilderness. His life is changed. Everything in my life was going fine, and then I encountered the divine. Or we might say everything was going fine, and then we encountered Jesus. Now I have to change. Or if not change, I have to pretend that meeting Jesus didn't mean anything. I had everything under control, everything planned out, and then God. But it is a wonderful life. And a good thing, giving up that sense of needing to be in control, giving up the sense of thinking only about myself or my own needs, giving up my need for power, trying to give up some of these ideas that wealth equals winning, or that life is about accumulation of things or power or status. I don't do this perfectly. Sometimes I don't do it even particularly mediocre. There is, in following God, this call to be more generous and more giving, more loving, more tolerant, more open, and more willing to see God, not just in certain ways, but to be open to God's surprises, to be open to God's surprising movements, especially in the people around us. And that's a wondrous thing, to realize how present God is, to see God in the people who are living on the streets, to realize that they are a reflection of God, to see God in the screaming child and the incompetent store clerk and the guy that cut you off in line, and to realize that maybe the store clerk isn't just an incompetent store clerk, but someone who's on the first day of her job, or someone who's really tired because she has three jobs trying to support her child, maybe just having an off day. Or maybe the clerk is just struggling to hold himself together against the demonic voices in his head because his insurance company doesn't cover his medication anymore, and so he hasn't been taking it for a while. Or the veteran who has PTSD and needs some help, to see God in the people around us and to hear their stories, which are stories about God. And John the Baptist is pointing us to Jesus. He's pointing the people to Jesus, saying he's going to come, and then there he is, and we now have that job. We can point to Jesus to those around us to say, there he is. Jesus is you, he's me, he's that gentleman, he's that child killed in Afghanistan, she's the girl that goes hungry at school, he's the one who responded to that 150-car pileup in Michigan a few days ago. She's the people who were slaughtered at Charlie Hebdo in Paris. And God is in the suffering souls of the men who did the shooting. We point to Jesus and invite people to come with us to experience that, to experience God and to experience this world that God inhabits and cares for. And in baptism, we learn we are beloved. Jesus is the beloved. All who are beloved are Jesus, a reflection of Jesus, and all are beloved. All of God's people, all of God's creation. And the hard lesson that I've had to learn and have slowly been learning, trying to embrace more, it's not always easy. But the lesson that I have been trying to learn is that if I am beloved, as God says, or as our baptisms symbolize, our state of being beloved, if I am beloved, then so are the people around me. I'm not the only one who is beloved. Everyone is. Everyone is. Regardless of how much I like them, or regardless of how much I think of their worth, they are beloved. They are God's beloved. And just as we are all God's beloved, we are someone's jerk. I'm sure every one of us, there is someone in the world who thinks we're a jerk, who thinks we're an incompetent, or that we're annoying. Someone, I don't know of anyone, who is so perfect and so good that everyone thinks the world of him. We are probably somebody's jerk just as well, but we are also all beloved by God. And like the song says that we sang earlier, you know, if we're all beloved, let's treat each other as though we're all beloved. And that song that says, if you're on the wrong road, go the other way. We always have the opportunity to repent and to change direction. God always forgives, always welcomes us back. If you're on the wrong road, go the other way. If you got two coats, give one away. Take care of the people around you. And don't forget your bugs. But I'm not going to judge you if you decide to forget your bugs. I have eaten many things in my life. I have yet to find the courage to eat any kind of insect. Not my thing. I want to end with a story from Julian of Norwich, who was one of the great medieval mystics of the church, talking about one of her mystical experiences with the divine. And in this, he showed me a little thing, the quantity of a hazelnut lying in the palm of my hand, as it seemed. And it was as round as any ball, and I looked upon it with the eye of my understanding, and I thought, what may this be? And it was answered generally thus, it is all that is made. I marveled how it might last, for I thought it might suddenly have fallen to naught for its littleness. And I was answered in my understanding, it lasts and ever shall, for God loves it. And so have all things their beginning by the love of God. So have all things their beginning by the love of God. In this little thing, I saw three properties. The first is that God made it. The second, that God loves it. And the third, that God keeps it. God made it, God loves it, and God keeps it. That, I think, is the message of baptism. We are made, we are loved, we are kept. And imagine a world in which we truly believed in the belovedness of ourselves and the belovedness of those around us. If you're on the wrong path, go the other way. And if you have two coats, give one away and know that you are God's beloved. Amen.
Thank you. and hillside,
cross the tomb, and hear the
blessing God, in baptism you cause us to die to our old ways and be raised to new life of freedom and grace in Jesus. Trusting in your promises for earth and all people, we bring you our prayers for the world. We pray for your church with its kaleidoscopic views of baptism, that it may meet the needs of all types of people in the world. We pray for your world, that all people, all creation may know that they are your beloved. We pray for those who suffer, that they will know your love for them, and we may be bearers of comfort. We pray for your creation, that it may stay healthy and continue to nourish and nurture us. We remember those who have gone before us and pray for those nearing death, that they may be at peace in your love for them. One baptism with Christ and blessed by your Holy Spirit, we praise and give you thanks, Holy One, for giving us spirit and breath. Rising sun, soaring spirit, radiant Lord, you are there in shining glory.
Overcoming death and inviting us to life.
You meet us in the breaking of bread, you pour out the wine of salvation.
You feed us with grace and overwhelm us with love.
By your Spirit, make these gifts your body and your blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with you and with each other.
By your Spirit, make us strong that we might share your love with your blessed and broken world.
Fire of mercy, fire of justice, dearest friend, bind us to you and send us out to seek and serve and sing your praise. Until you gather us up in glory and write it on ending song.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. When Jesus was at that last meal with his friends and the disciples, he gathered around the table, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. He said, "This is my body, given for you." And after supper, when he took the cup, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all sins. And whenever you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, do so in remembrance of me." So let us now share in the feast. All things have been made ready. Servers, come forward. As we share in the bread, I ask that you please take a piece of bread and hold on to it, and we'll all eat together once we are served, symbolizing our unity as the body of Christ.
The sinless one to Jordan came to share our fallen nature's blame. God's righteousness he thus fulfilled, and chose the path his Father willed. Uprising from the waters there, the voice from heaven a witness bear, that Christ the
preserved, symbolizing our individual yearning to touch the divine or to experience the divine. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Drink in remembrance of him.
Above him see the heavenly dove, the sign of God the Father's love. Now by the Holy Spirit shed upon the Son's anointed head. How blessed that then begun to heal and save a race undone. Straight to the wilderness he goes to wrestle with his people's foes. Sin, go forth with you, a world to win, and send the Holy Spirit's power to shield them in temptation's
the last line of our benediction. It'd be nice if we all turned to face one another and kind of say these words to one another as well. So let us be together in our benediction. God shows no partiality between people according to class, color, or country,
but accepts people of all backgrounds who love God and do what is right.
And may the God who called Jesus beloved speak blessing to you, beloved sons and daughters,
and empower you to bring that good news to others who still need to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
And that is the good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.